I'm very, very grateful to the Kollel for giving me this opportunity, and I specifically want to thank the two Rashi HaKollel, Rabbi Blezher and Rabbi Singer, for allowing me to start the weeks of Shaivavim. As you heard, the concept during these weeks, Shaivavim being the Rashi Tevas and the acronym for Shemoyiz Va'era, Boi B'Shalach Yisro Mishpatim, some say Shaivavim Tat, as we said here a few years ago, is to very, very much be mechazek, be each one should be neschazek, and learn the halacha, is really make kedusha, tznius, and taras mishpacha a much more fundamental part of our lives. So I'm grateful to the Kollel Bechlal and to the Rashi Kollel specifically for giving me the opportunity tonight shir, not as a halacha shir, but to introduce the importance and the chashivas of the Inyan. It's very, very special to see such a large olam, and for that I'm deeply grateful to each and every one of you. I thank you, Mayom Kedalibi. Obviously, it's very inspiring to see so many people. I just want to single out, walking in, I saw someone for whom I have a tremendous, tremendous love, somebody who was extremely close, Ben Chaim L'Chaim, with my father, Zatzal, and that is Harav Mordechai Neustadt, who is actually the grandfather of one of the Yungalite. But I don't speak about him publicly because that's something that truly embarrasses him. He enjoys being such a shlucha derachmana and an oisik b'tzarchei tzibur, but doing it on a tznius level as per tonight's topic. So I'm not going to embarrass him. I'm just going to say, especially he just arrived now, what an amazing and awesome covet it is for me that someone who was so, so close to my father's Zatzal and continues to be very close to me and my family. It's a tremendous chus to have you here tonight, and I hope, Ezer Hashem, you and your wife and the whole mishpacha have the gesund for many, many, many years to come to continue in the Avodas HaKodesh. I hope that from now till Ma'ariv, at least two things are accomplished with tonight's shir. The most obvious is what you just heard Rabbi Blezher and Rabbi Singer say, that it's a time that for the next 5 weeks, I believe, starting on Monday, running for five Mondays, there will mamish be the halacha, the shiurim, harchokos, I'm sure, and vest, etc. Each Monday night, I'm sure, dedicated to a different aspect of Taras HaMishpacha. So I hope we accomplish at least two things with this shiur. Number one, that people who may not have considered going to those shiurim will take it very, very seriously. And if you can't go to all five, certainly to go to as many as you can. Maybe there's someone here who wasn't planning on going, and as a result of my words, our words will go. Maybe somebody said, you know, I'll pick a couple, two or three, but as a result of the words, we'll try to go to four or five. That would be one very, very critical accomplishment. The other accomplishment is, there may be perhaps people who aren't able to attend the shiurim, or even if they are attending the shiurim, there's also something more. Making the concepts we're going to speak about tonight, kedusha, tznius, just leading a life and a home, a relationship that way, making it a part of your very being. So beyond the 5 weeks of shiurim, beyond parshas, truma, tetzav, and shaivavim tat, beyond that, to take tonight's lessons to heart. There's a pasuk in Parshas Shemois. We're very familiar with the pasuk. In fact, part of it refers to the sneh right here on the Aron Kodesh. The pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe he has to remove his shoes because the place that he's standing on is Admas Kodesh. I want to read you the exact words. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shalna Alecha Me'al Raglecha, you have to remove your shoes. Ki HaMokam Asherata Oymed Olav Admas Kodesh, and since it's Admas Kodesh, we know that on sacred soil, you're not allowed to be wearing shoes. Obviously, that's why by Duchening shoes are taken off, etc. The Arachayim HaKadosh. He says, I don't understand. You could look at the Lashon inside. It's very, very powerful. If the place that Moshe Rabbeinu was entering was Admas Kodesh, and you can't have shoes, you have to remove the shoes, as it says, Shal Na'alecha Me'al Raglecha, So why did the Ribbono Shel Olam wait until Moshe entered the Admas Kodesh and then tell him to remove his shoes? If I believe, I remember correctly, I saw the Rechaim a little while ago, I believe his Lashon is, why would it be a cause and allow Moshe to be Nichshal B'Shoigeg? In other words, inadvertently, there's going to be B'Shoigeg that he's going in with the shoes for the Ribbono Shel Olam to say remove them. Frekti Rechaim HaKodesh, why didn't Hashem tell him before he entered the Admas Kodesh, Shal Na'alecha, remove your shoes, so as not to put him in that situation? The Archaim HaKadosh says something that's pile pile ployim. You could look at it inside over Shabbos Kodesh. The ground that Moshe Rabbeinu was entering, according to the Archaim HaKadosh, may very well not have been Admas Kodesh. We all take it for granted, yeah, it was Admas Kodesh. No, according to the Archaim HaKadosh, it may very well not have been. But you see, it was regular soil, it was regular land, like you could envision anywhere. But because Moshe Rabbeinu had such a she'ifa for Kedusha, because Moshe Rabbeinu had such a tzima'in, an unquenchable thirst, to do avodas habayrei, and to dedicate his life to serving the Ribbono Shel Olam more and more, better and better, greater and greater, greater and greater, says the Rechaim HaKadosh, he created! Yeah, he created, he mamish transformed that mokim that until now wasn't Admas Kodesh, he made it Admas Kodesh. Oy bazoi, now that he created and transformed that it became Admas Kodesh, now the Ribbono Shel Olam has to tell him, Shalna Alecha Me'al Raglecha, because indeed you created Admas Kodesh from something that previously wasn't. Baisai, very, very powerful words. Anything I say tonight, I am truly saying to myself, and I'll say it a little bit louder or a lot louder to invite other people to listen. Very powerful words from the Archaim HaKadosh. That means that wherever we sojourn, that place can be turned into Admas Kodesh. The topic tonight was instilling Kedusha into our homes. We don't have to live in a particular neighborhood, on a particular block, in a particular country to create Admas Kodesh. If your home is a home of Kedusha, if you're a person whose prezemlachayt and whole persona is one of Kedusha, one of tznius, one of quietness, one of modesty, then wherever you walk, be'arba kanfes ha'aretz, you are creating Admas Kodesh. And I think that's the first job to introducing the weeks of Shoivavim. Are our homes where we walk and the way we behave, is that a type of place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say, you have indeed transformed and created Admas Kodesh? Or do we ever do things or wear things or act or behave in ways that it's the exact antithesis? There's a maisa that I said over, I know, a few times, but last year when I went for the yard site, not 2 months ago, but a year before that for my father's atzal, when I was going back to the airport, I had the schus to be in the Rechov Rashbam, up the steps by the Baal Moifes Hador, by Reb Chaim Zoller Gesund und Stark sein, when I was coming down the steps and going to the airport, someone knew that I say over often a maisa from Rav Kluft. Rav Kluft is an einikel from the Stipler. So he was standing on the corner, so this person said, why don't you speak to him? And for me it was like literally, even though we were here on earth, literally it was like a night on heaven. I have to tell you, you know, you're right there in front, the corner that we've been by so many times, right in front of Letterman Shul, on the corner of Rechov Rashbam, and it must have been 11 o'clock at night, and it was beautiful weather, and I'm going to the plane, and it was just a scene that you could only dream about. So I went over to Rav Kluft, and I said, there's a maisa that I say over very often, but if I could hear it from you, so I know that with every pitch of gun, every cuticle, I'm saying it accurately. So I know the story will sound familiar to many of you, but it has a greater meaning to me now, because he said it over, and indeed, I had to change or modify two details as per the way that I had always heard the story. So Rav Kluft told me, Maisa Shahaya Kachoya, a number of years ago, let's keep in mind he's an Einikel von Stipler, he was on one of the buses, and a Yid, an elderly gentleman, perhaps in his 70s, walked in and sat down next to him. Now, I don't remember the particulars of what the Yid was wearing. I don't remember if he even had a yarmulke on his head, but clearly from whatever other clothing he was wearing, the shirt, the pants, the sandals, or whatever it might have been, You know, I guess he wanted to introduce himself. I can't tell you if at those moments he how religious he was, how religious he wasn't. I didn't get into the particulars with Rav Kluft. I assume religious, but he wanted to apologize to Rav Kluft that he wasn't like so many others. So he sat down next to Rav Kluft and he started a conversation. I always thought he used the Lashon I would Yid with Yom Kippur, but actually what he said was, Rebbe, I'm just a poshut Yid. He obviously wanted to strike up a conversation, so Rav Kluft said, and pray tell, what makes you a poshut Yid? What do you mean by that? So he said, decades ago I was in the army of Stalin, Yemach Shemoy V'Zichroy. Let me tell you a little bit about my life. As if he was downplaying that he hadn't done anything very incredible or special. So the first year that I was in Stalin's army, it was Erev Yom Kippur, Yom HaKadosh. And the only dispensation you ever got from the army was if the tooth doctor gave you a pitur, it allowed you to go back to your bunk and barrack for about 24 hours, and that's the way you celebrated Yom HaKippurim. So Erev Yom Kippur, a few hours before Kol Nidre, I fabricated an excuse by the tooth doctor that a certain tooth was hurting and he felt it needed to be removed and extracted. And he told Rav Kluft, these were in the days that there was no Novocaine, no anesthetics, no painkiller at all. He said the pure pain of when the dentist ripped out that tooth is given lo yiyuman, you can't imagine. But Lemaisa, when the torture was over, I got a paper that said I was off 24 hours. So Rebbe, I ran back to my barrack and I showed it to my supervisor. Indeed, I was off. And that's how I started Kol Nidre, and then Meiriv, and then Shachris, and then Musab, and then Mincha, and then Ne'ilah. And I kept the whole Yom Kippur. Rav Kluft looked at him and said, Rebbe, there's nothing poshut about you. Like, you got to marvel and be amazed at that story. A moment later, when the Yid was getting up and getting off the bus, he turned to Rav Kluft, to Zegenzich, and say goodbye and gave a large smile. He had spaces where four teeth used to be. And he said, Rebbe, I just apologize for the four spaces where I used to have teeth, but you see, I was in Stalin's army for 4 years. And each year I kept Yom HaKadosh. That's what Arachayim means, Admas Kodesh. When that gentleman was in Stalin's army and he was in his barrack, and he for 4 years from beginning to end, Kol Nidre Tenila kept Yom Kippur, it could be said about that area, Admas Kodesh. And that's really why we're gathered tonight, to take a very good look and to ask ourselves, we may not always be put in the predicament of that gentleman, but in whatever nisyonos and situations we are put in. And in a little while, we're going to talk about one of the nisyonos in the form of tzniut. It's not always the most popular thing to speak about. Certainly not always a thing that people enjoy. They start shifting in their seats sometimes uncomfortably. That's the raya that it should be spoken about. And I was just listening to a tape to hear a vort that we'll get to in a little while, from one of the precious diamonds and gems of our generation, Harav Ephraim Waxman, Zoller Gesund und Stark Sein. I listened to this particular tape because he had given over in a tznius lecture a vort based on a Gemara in Megillah. We'll get to it shortly. But there also, as I was trying to get to the vort, I heard him say, because he was also speaking to men, and he was talking about Kedush and tznius. And he was saying, so some may say to me that this is what should be given to the women and to the Nashim Tzidkaniyos, but he made it abundantly clear that if the husband or the man truly, be'emes and ernst wouldn't want something, wouldn't want a certain level of lack of tznius or lack of kedusha or a certain hoilulus or a certain levity, then that feeling would be strongly conveyed and admired and respected by the spouse, and therefore wouldn't be. And I found that comment to be very, very enlightening. He truly, truly believes, and we know that it's true, that if the husband would show, of course, feel it first, that it's not something that I want, this lessening of tznius, lessening of kedusha, lessening of a certain dehaibenkeit, adarabah, there would be a lot more that the spouse would have a respect and an admiration and would want to go ahead and fulfill the ratzon of the baal. Memela, he said, and I say the same thing to myself and to those who are still willing to listen. That's why there's no place that it's more appropriate to speak about, because truth be told, wherever we walk, wherever we vacation, we can create Admas Kodesh. There's a pasuk right before Chamishi in Pekudei. Moshe Rabbeinu is giving a bracha to Klal Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Vayivorech Osa Moshe." And what was the bracha? So Rashi tells us, "Vayivorech Osa Moshe Omar Lehem." He told Klal Yisrael, "Yehi Ratzon Shetishra Shchina B'Masa Yedeichem." You should be zoiche that the Shchina will rest upon your handiwork, in your heart, in your home, in your livelihood. Years ago, I heard a pshat, I don't remember who it's b'shem. In my family, this has become a classic. This has become a pshat that is beyond. Why is it, usually when we find a lashon yehi ratzon, we find the refrain, yehi ratzon milifnei avinu shebashamayim. Yehi ratzon milifnei Hashem elokeinu v'elokei aviseinu. Here you don't find that nusach. Here it just says Yehi Ratzon Shetishra Shchina B'Masa Yedeichem. But who's Ratzon? Who's Ratzon? It should say Yehi Ratzon Milefnei Avinu Shebashamayim Milefnei Hashem Elokeinu V'Elokei Aviseinu. It doesn't say who's Ratzon. And there's good reason for that, because it could be what Rashi is teaching us is, before it could be the Ratzon of the Ribono Shel Olam, before it could be the Ratzon Milefnei Avinu Shebashamayim, it first has to be your Ratzon. Because if it's not your burning desire and your burning passion to have a home filled with Kedusha and Tznius and built al Taras HaKodesh, then why should it be a comfortable place for the Ribono Shel Olam and his Shechina to enter? The Shechina is interested in looking elsewhere. You've got to make it comfortable accommodations. Yeah, it's a hard question to ask ourselves. Would the Shechina be very comfortable in our homes? And that's what Rashi's talking about. Before it could be the Ratzon Milefnei Avinu Shebashamayim, it first has to be my Ratzon and that of my spouse and that of everyone here. And that's what Rashi means. Yehi Ratzon, may it be your will, Shetishra Shechina B'Masa Yedeichem. And if you will it, and you want it, and you really make a comfortable home, then it will be the Ratzon Milefnei Avinu Shebashamayim Shetishra Shechina B'Masa Yedeichem. And now maybe you could appreciate why I opened up by saying it's a very poignant pshat, and it's one that I and everyone should take to heart. Is it truly, by the way we act, and speak in the home and to each other, and dress, and everything. Is it a home that the Shechina is comfortable coming and saying, yeah, I'm fine putting my Shechina that it should reside and dwell here? Because if it's not our Ratzon, it's not comfortable, why should the Shechina come? And so what we focus on during the weeks of Shavuot Tat, and what we take to heart, and might I add, by the way, really everybody who came to this shiur spot on gets credit. I can't get credit because I was asked to give this shiur. It would look pretty bad if I didn't show up. But I'll tell you, everyone here gets tremendous credit. I'll tell you, Poshet, why. You knew what you were coming for. You saw the sign. Okay, granted, afterwards there's the cholent and the kishka and a sponsorship. Good, so you could have come to 10 Meir. We're not going to get it at 10, we'll get it at 10:05. And then you could have eaten the achalta v'savata. You knew why you were coming. You didn't think you were coming to hear a shmooze about the Avas Yisrael or about Tzedakah or about Kriya Shema Lamita. You knew why you were coming. And you came anyways. I'll be honest with you. I can't get credit. But if you have over here, 70, 80 people that came, you get the credit. You knew what the topic was about. You knew what it was about, taking Shavuot Tat and Kedusha and Tznius and Taras HaKodesh seriously, and you came anyways. So that's probably the largest step that tonight, I'd like to believe this is always a makom of Admas Kodesh, but I can say one thing bebrirus with certainty. Tonight, this area, right here where the hands going over, the whole Heichal, is a very serious manifestation of Admas Kodesh. We spent a little bit of time talking about creating Admas Kodesh, and about making our place a place that the Shekhinah has a rotzen and is comfortable to come. We read a few weeks ago about Paro. We're actually still reading about Paro. I meant to say we introduced Paro. If anybody thinks Paro was the name of a particular king, obviously that's incorrect. Paro is firstly a name of all the kings, but more than the name, Paro is a concept. Paro is a concept. And that concept, the Toshin Ayin Gimel, is as alive and as vicious as it was then in the Shibud Mitzrayim. Paro, Rabbi Yisai, is from the word parua. And parua, which is the root of the word paro, means to be wild without any inhibitions. So you see, when a person wears what they want and speaks what they want and looks at what they want and listens to what they want and brings into their home what they want, they are still in the same Shibud. It may not be in Mitzrayim, it may be in Dade County, it may be wherever it is. But Paro is just as effective and as alive then, and he certainly is today as well, because when a person feels that Hefkerus, and anything goes, I don't want it to be dictated, I can say this and wear this and do this and that and that. Good, so that's Paro. Is it possible for all of us who are here to always create Admas Kodesh, not just tonight and not just the 5 Mondays successive to now? It certainly is. The Rishoner Rebbe in Sefer Ner Yisrael says something off the charts. Oisig Gevenlich. The Rishoner Rebbe tells us in Parshas Kedoshim, it says, "Kedoshim tiyu ki kedosh ani Hashem lekeichem." Isa b'medrash. The Medrash says, "Vayikra Rabbi Chavdalites." What does the Ribbono Shel Olam mean with the words "Kedoshim tiyu"? Kedoshim tiyu. Do you think that you could be? You're going to be kodesh. You're going to be holy. Yachol kimoini b'tmiya with a question mark. You think you could be like me? Talmud loymar ki kodesh ani. Either Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm holy, and obviously that level one strives for, but one cannot achieve that level. That's the way to read the Medrash. Kedoshim tiyu. Yachol kimoini teretz. Talmud loymar ki kodesh ani. Says the Rishoner Rebbe, do not read the words Yachol Kimoini b'tmiya. Read the words Yachol Kimoini b'nichusa. B'nichusa means b'nachas, and as an answer and as a comfortable comment, not as a question. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, Kedoshim tiyu. You have to be dehoibin. You have to make shaydim top all the time. Admas Kodesh all the time. So lest you wonder to yourself, if a person has that ability, Yachol Kimoini is not a question, Yachol Kimoini is the ticket. Say to yourself, Yachol Kimoini. Obviously, Kaviyachol, we can't be like the Ribbono Shel Olam, it means a Kaviyachol, but the way to read it is, Yachol Kimoini. Yes, b'nichusa, not b'tmiyo. We have that ability. Don't sell yourself short. Every person has that ability. And if you'll ask the Shaila Oibazoi, how do I do that? How can I achieve levels that I thought I never could achieve before? Remember, Yachol Kimoini is a reassuring and soothing comment, not a question. Yeah, Yachol Kimoini. I could do more than I did. So until tonight I did X, but now I could do better. And until tonight I did Y, but I could do better. Isn't that what life's all about? I hadn't planned on mentioning it. I had seen it, I saw it this week, and I was putting it in another drasha, but it fits in so eloquently, how could I not? In this week's parsha, Rashi says, you find, I believe it is in Shlishi or Revi, that without any seeming order, it says Moshe, then Aaron, Aaron, then Moshe. Rashi says, why does it switch back and forth, as it was just said on this side? Melami to teach you Sheshkulim, that they're equal. Look by Reb Moshe and Darash Moshe. He says, how could you say that? We can't fathom or chalom who Aaron was, but he wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu. Leikom b'Yisrael k'Moshe. So how do you say that they were shokul and equal? Says Reb Moshe, it doesn't mean in level of greatness. That's not what the Bari Olam means. It means in the ability to achieve your maximum potential. Everybody is given a certain amount of maximum potential to push themselves to a level that they didn't even know that they had. Says Rav Moshe, when Rashi says they were shokul, it means in that sense, Aaron and Moshe were equal, that they both achieved the ultimate shleimus of their maximizing their potential. Good, so for one it may have been a level where my hand is holding now, and for another it may have been here. That's not the point. The point is, did you maximize your potential or not? I found that vart to be very, very inspiring. And I'll tell you when I find it to be most inspiring. Whenever we think there's something we can't do, and we end up doing it, then you see it's a raya l'mafreya, that my potential and bar is higher than I thought. If I'll come home after a particular day and think that I'll only be able to learn 10 minutes and I'm able to learn 15 minutes, so then I see afterwards, you see you were able to do this. So vice and vice versa, that was your potential bar. And that's what's going on over here, where the Rishner tells us, Yochel Kimoini, you could maximize your potential, but you're probably wondering, I didn't tell you the rest of the words, Talmud Leimer Ki Kadosh Ani, says the Rishner Rebbe, to go back to his pshat, Yochel Kimoini, you could do it, you could do it. How do you do it? Talmud Leimer normally means, the Gemara teaches us and the Pasuk is found. Here you read it, Tilmad Leimer, teach yourself to say. Teach yourself to say, Ki Kadosh Ani, I am special. And if I'm Kadosh, then why shouldn't I maximize my potential? And that's a pshat that the Rishna brings down in Sefer Ner Yisrael. Yochel Kimoini, we could achieve levels and potentials and raise the bar that we didn't think we had possible. That's what Shavim Tat is about. How do you do that? How do you accomplish and achieve that? Tilmad Loimar, from the Lashon, teach yourself to say day in and day out, Ki Kadosh Ani, I can do it. And if I have the ability to tell it to myself day in and day out, I can do it, I can raise the bar. So until now, my home looked one way, my way of dressing, my way of speaking, my way of acting and thinking looked one way, Asvos. Doesn't mean that Shavim Tad isn't the time to revisit and to make sure that we raise the bar and raise our level of achievements and accomplishments. And Be'ezus Hashem, you're going to be learning, as we said, over the 5 weeks, all of the halachos. Some of the halachos people will find to be easy, some they'll find to be more difficult, maybe perhaps by the halachos of Archokos. Archokos is miloshim to be rochok, right? Because there can't be certain physical contact and different forms of passing, and you'll get into all the intricacies of the halacha. So harchokos you think means difficulties. No, on the contrary. One of my rabbeim once told me that one of the Sheva Brochei says, Gila, Rina, Ditza, Veched, Ava, Ve'achva, Shalom, Ve'reus. People think that that's eight l'shoinos of joy. That's not true. It's four and four. Gila, Rina, Ditza, and Chedva. I happen to have had a friend who once had four sisters named Gila, Rina, Ditza, and Chedva. I don't know the rest of the children what their names were. Meheir Hashem Elokeinu Yishama. But he had those four Lashonos, Gila, Rina, Ditza, and Chedva, are expressions of physical joy. Ava, Achva, Shalom, and Reus is more of a spiritual bonding and connecting. And very often with the halachos of Taras and Mishpacha, doesn't always work out half the month one way and half the month another way. I certainly don't mean that, but there will be times where there will be the times during the month where it will be Gila, Rina, Ditz, and Chedva, and the other times when one keeps all of the halachos and clings tenaciously to the halachos, it will be a different type of simcha. Ava, Achva, Shalom, Vireyas. That time is a very, very critical and special time. That's why one hears the words harchokos and all of a sudden thinks, well, harchokos by definition means that I can't do this. Adarabba va'adarabba. They are harchokos that create a certain kiruv and bring them closer. Not in the sense of Gila, Rina, Ditza, and Chedva, but certainly, certainly in a very, very special sense of Ava, Achva, Shalom, Vireyas. So Shavim Tat is a time to reflect and renew the learning of the times that are Gila, Rina, Ditza, and Chedva, and similarly the times that are Ava, Achva, Shalom, and Reyus. We've always had people who have had the ability to create Admas Kodesh wherever they are, and specifically now through these halachas. Our family, Mechutin, Harav Moshe Schmelzer, Zol Er Gesund und Stark sein, told me this Maisa a number of times. I called him a little bit before the shir just to get the details again. He tells over a Maisa that happened a number of years ago. I don't know exactly how many. I don't think it was too many ago. You know, I'm not such a New Yorker, but from the few times I've gone in a car service down Ocean Parkway, so like every block there's a number of benches. And perhaps on a warm day you could see many elderly couples sitting. I think I have the right name. It's Ocean Park. At first I thought it was Coney Island, but I've been working hard to say Ocean Parkway. It's Ocean Parkway. So on a warm day you could see the many elderly couples sitting, maybe playing chess or reading or passing time, schmoozing, whatever it might be. Had you passed on any given day, you would have seen an elderly Russian couple and perhaps not even given them a second glance, thinking that they blend in with all the scenery and all the other couples. However, that was far from the case, because you see, as the story goes, Rabbi Isai, when this elderly Russian man was nifter, so they had to, Chever Kadisha Mamish had to work on getting together a minyan just to be present by the kvura. We might do just a little bit al Zdaila Chakima Biramiza. I know that it was originally scheduled to be for married men. Looking around at the very Choshev HaHeichel, I can't do a spot check to see if indeed that's the case. So we'll do it a little bit with Daila Chakima Biramiza, which is usually the point that somebody asks me, what does he mean by that, Daila Chakima Biramiza? So the Maisa goes that they went ahead and they collected a minyan for the kvura. And as they were mamish finishing the kvura, the wife, the elderly wife, said to the Chever Kadisha in Yiddish, she said, I want to speak for a few seconds. Can I speak? I want to talk to my husband for a minute. And they said, fine. So she went over to the keva right before the finishing of the kvura. And I don't know his name. Let's say his name was Moshe. She said, Moshe, you're going to be soon by Kisei covered by Ribbono Shel Olam. He knows the reason we never had children. The Ribbono Shel Olam knows uns are a secret why we never had children. We lived in Russia more than 35 years and there wasn't a mikveh anywhere to be found. The Ribbono Shel Olam knows why we didn't have, and he knows what it was in Russia without a mikveh. So tzuva pas to say, as I said, in front of someone who is mamash roish v'rishon l'chaldover shebekdusha to bring Yiddishkeit back to Russia. That's what she said by the caver. So you're going to be soon by the Borei Olam. Ask the Borei Olam. You want to go right away into Gan Eden. You want to go right away into Gan Eden. And tell the Ribbono Shel Olam that he knows our secret. He knows why we didn't have for 35 years children. Because there wasn't a mikveh in Russia. So you see, Rabbi Isai, it's certainly possible to create Admas Kodesh, and you would have never known that about a couple that you would have passed by with so many others. And who knows how many other in Klal Yisrael have been Meiser Nefesh with such a pleiadic and mysterious Nefesh. Can we even imagine the Meiser we just said? Shtel Zichvor, we weren't talking about a little bit of time, we were talking about a good number of decades. And standing over the elderly husband not having had children, say, tell the Ribbono Shel Olam, he knows, and therefore you want to go straight into Gan Eden. People have been Meiser Nefesh. People have said Paro is a thing of the past. People have shown, like Reb Moshe said, that you can reach your potential. People have shown, like the Rishoner Rebbe said, Yochol Kimoini Tilmad Loimar Ki Kadoshani. People have done it as the man did in Stalin's army and as this couple did for decades, particularly in the area of Gila, Rina, Ditsa, Chedva, Ava, Achva, Shalom, and Reya. So it was possible then, and it's possible now as well. I want to be Messiah with two Divrei Torah. I mentioned to you earlier that I saw something from Rabbi Waxman. And this is the pshat that Rabbi Ephraim Waxman said so beautifully. There's a Gemara, you could look it up, I saw it myself. There's a Gemara in Megillah, Yud Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara is speaking about what Rachel did. I'm referring to when she gave the simonim to Leah, so as she wouldn't be humiliated and embarrassed by Yom Chuposoi. Says the Gemara Megillah, Yod Gimel Amud Beis, B'schar Tzinius. The Olam should listen stark to this. No, I'll tell it to myself. I want to listen to what I'm saying. B'schar Tzinius Shehoysa Bo B'Rachel Zochzav Yotzim Imenu Shaul, and subsequently Esther Hamalka as well. As a reward for her tzinius that Rachel exhibited, she went ahead and she merited Shaul, Malchus, and the rest is history. Rabbi Waxman makes an outstanding observation. If you gave me a potpourri of adjectives to describe what Rachel did that evening by giving over the simonim to Leah, it wouldn't be tznius. You talk to me about Rachel's gutzkeit. You talk to me about Rachel's tzidkus. You talk to me about her being a very selfless person. You would talk to me about her having rachmonis. But you wouldn't pick the midah. She remained quiet. So b'shchus t'tzniu, she was zoicha to Shaul, to Esther, to Malchus, and everything we're aware of. What does the Gemara mean? To gevaldik akasha. Says Rabbi Ephraim Waxman Zoller Gesunden Stark Sein, Rachel accomplished something that no one else was actually able to accomplish. If you take a look in the Novi Yirmiyah, look it up, I'm looking it now, Yirmiyah, Perek Lamed Aleph, Psukim, Yud Dalet, Tezvov and Tezayin, it's talking about the famous Medrash, that all of the Ovis and all of the Imois wanted to appease the Ribbono Shel Olam after Menashe HaMelech introduced idol worship into the Beis HaMikdash. And the Ribbono Shel Olam rejected all of the pleas of the Ovis and Imois of the Medrash until Rachel came along and spoke about the selfless act of devotion so as not to humiliate and embarrass her sister. And as a result of her and no one else, the Ribbono Shel Olam said, Klal Yisrael bizchus Rachel, Mama Rachel and Keva Rachel, we will eventually be redeemed. And of course we know the famous psukim where it says, Kol Berama Nishma, that there is a certain voice that's heard. And it's heard on high, and it's a voice that's crying, and a voice that's weeping. We know Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz was by the caver and says, I say, Nein, Mama Rachel Vein, keep crying. The next pasuk says, Koyamar Hashem, Mini Koylech Mibechi, to restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from shedding tears. Because that's not going to be necessary anymore. Why? Because you're getting rewarded for what you did. And you know what the reward is? Vishavu bonim legvulam. The Medrash says it wasn't b'schus the avos and imois only because of what Rachel did. It was such gvura. I shtel zechvar, I don't think we can even comprehend how much gvura it was for her to do what she did. But she did it, and as a result of it, the Ribbono Shel Olam says that the crying will stop, the weeping will stop, the tears will stop. There's reward for what you did. V'shavu bonim legvulam. Zochter Ephraim Waxman, how did Rachel get that gvura? It's not B'derach HaTeva. How'd she get it? So here's the answer. We asked the question before, why does it say she displayed tznius? We didn't read the Gemara correctly. It doesn't say she displayed tznius. You're right, she displayed tzidkus, rachmonis, gutzkeit, selflessness. You should hear Rabbi Ephraim Waxman say it. I felt the walls of my house roaring. Family members came in. I kid you not. He says all the things she did was gutzkeit and rachmonis and tzidkus and selflessness. The Gemara is asking something else. But how did she become the person whose tefillos were answered when the avos and imois weren't? How did she become the person that Mama Rachel will hear our tears and our crying and our bitter weeping, and because of her and only because of her, v'shavu bonim legvulam? Zok di Gemara, you know how? B'shus tznius shahoysa ba. It's not talking about the episode with Rachel. B'schus tznius shahoysa ba b'Rachel. Because Rachel had the midah of tznius. You have to see the lashon inside. I'll say it again. B'schus tznius shahoysa ba. Not that she displayed. She displayed the other six things we mentioned. And tznius. What the Gemara means is b'schus tznius shahoysa ba, because she was the very personification and paradigm of the midah of tznius, the reward is ein l'shayer. It was the tznius that was within her that gave her the gvura to accomplish what others couldn't. And that's what tonight's all about. If a person is willing to take to heart more tzneus and more kedusha and more taras hakodesh, then we're not dealing with the level of averages and but it's bederach hateva. All of that falls away. She accomplished what no one else accomplishes. Shavu b'adam v'gul will be redeemed eventually because of her. Why? Because tzniyus shahoysa ba. And that's what tonight's about. Because if you have tzniyus and kedusha within you, anything is possible. It should be the will of the Ribbono shel Olam. The Medrash says, kedusha si lemala mi kedusha shem. Literally it means, the Ribbono shel Olam says, that my kedusha is lemala mi kedusha shem, greater than yours. Of course, that's the Ribbono shel Olam. Who are we? The pshat in the Medrash is, don't put the comma after word number one. Put the comma after word number two. The Ribbono shel Olam is saying, Kedusha si lemala. Whatever Kedusha there is upstairs in Shemayim, mi Kedushaschem, stems from your Kedusha. You either have it or you don't. What dictates how much Kiddusha and the Heibenkeit there is in Shemayim is our action. Kiddusha si lemala, says the Ribbono shel Olam. The Kiddusha that takes place in Shemayim, mi Kiddushaschem, stems from, is impacted, and is a direct result of your Kiddusha. We should be zoiche from tonight, from all the Shiurim, and well beyond. That whatever the level of Kedusha and Tzniyus in speech and in dress was, that Be'ezus Hashem it will be taken, like Ramosha says, to maximize and achieve even more potential than we even knew we had within us. Tilmad Leimer, let's tell ourselves that day in and day out. And in that Tzchus, while we're in this Golos, it will turn every place we walk into Admas Kodesh. But there will be a day very soon where we will keep telling Mama Rachel and keep crying. Kol Beroma Nishma will keep asking with the tears and the crying by Keva Rachel, let's go back to the real Admas Kodesh. Let's go back to the Admas Kodesh in Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash and the way it's supposed to be. And that will happen, and soon we will merit the Shavu Bonim Legvulam, and we should be Zaycha to create such Kedusha Lamala, and remember it comes mi Kedushaschem.